What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
In regards to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats moving forward, we'll get to that. But a couple of things that transpired over the weekend, more revelations on the shooter from Pennsylvania and that front, but also just how historic last Thursday night was as Trump's speech scores a record rating for Fox News with the highest ever RNC rating with 10 million viewers. You know, a lot of us had the reaction throughout the week, and especially on Friday after Trump wrapped up four nights on Thursday night with, man, did you see the crowd? Did you feel the energy, the volume of people, the, you know, the A-list celebrities, or you can call them B-listers, call them out of their prime now, you know, the Kid Rocks, the Hulk Hogans, just wild, right? Like I said on Friday, Brit Hume didn't know what to say. He's like, this is not your grandfather's old GOP anymore. Well, apparently it was a record for Fox as they drew 10 million viewers during the 10 p.m. hour alone, when the Republican nominee took the stage in Milwaukee and spoke publicly for the first time since surviving the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. No idea what Greg Gutfeld gets. He's the king of late nights at 10 o'clock, but I know he doesn't get 10 million viewers for that hour that he's on, that's for sure. Fox's viewership for Trump's 92-minute speech, which some people on other media networks said it was too long, capped the highest-rated single night of convention coverage in cable news history. Fox went on to say that he delivered the single largest night in convention audience history on Thursday, thanks to his keynote speech. The entire primetime block drew an average of 9 million viewers, including 1.6 million in their key demo of 25 to 54-year-olds. Comparatively speaking, CNN drew a fraction of that with just 2.1 million viewers, and they actually beat MSNBC. They got all of 1.2 million in the same time slot, which continues this downward trend really since the June 27th debate, that MSNBC all of a sudden has fallen behind CNN in a lot of ratings categories, which is fascinating because CNN this past May is coming off of a 33-year low where they haven't been consumed less since May of 1991. I was 7 years old at the time. But I'm thinking back to how big that was Thursday night. And let's just take a step back and think about the calendar of events that have transpired here in almost now the last 25 days. So on June 27th, you have that debate. Donald Trump obviously rolls to victory in the debate. Joe Biden becomes indefensible. George Clooney, Morning Joe, on down the list, people bailing off of the Biden ship. July 13th, 9 days ago, Trump survives assassination attempt. 2 days later, the RNC starts in Milwaukee. Gets off with a bang. Then they announce J.D. Vance will be the nominee. Then, of course, you have the classified documents case with Eileen Cannon in Florida. That gets dismissed, tossed right out. Then, of course, you have, like I said, the Hulk Hogans of the world, the Kid Rocks, big performance Thursday night, setting the stage for Donald Trump. And the Democrats, if you're thinking about this and you think about modern day elections and campaigns and the buildup, it's all about moments, right? It's about snapshots. It's about images. It's about a soundbite. It's not even really for those that are just fringe casual observers. Like all of us here on this show, the hardcore listeners on this station, we could recite the whole tale of the tape, right? We can sit here and go back and talk about all the policy failures. We can give you stats. We can give you soundbites. We can give you everything. But for the fringe person that pops in for 13 minutes a day to see what's going on in news and not even getting it from the best sources possible, it's about what pops up on their timeline, what shows up in their feed. And for 25 straight days, there's been nothing but positive moments, snapshots, images, and soundbites for the Trump campaign. And nothing but negativity, chaos, disarray, and dysfunction for the Democrats. And yesterday, they came to the realization, and Joe Biden finally tapped out. Jill said, all right, I'm out too. We need our moment. And to highlight how bad of a spot they are in right now, which is why I think some people are still skeptical as to whether or not it will be Kamala. You're looking for your moment, a momentum changer, a game changer. And you say, we're going to go from Joe to Kamala Harris. To that being the point of, does anything really change? Because you know the Trump campaign, they're going to go after her. She's complicit as well. She was the border czar. She was the one that said Joe was okay. And like I said, they will be able to pick her apart piece by piece, limb by limb. So if you're a Democrat this morning, and I know we always talk about, well, eventually Democrats get it together. Is the party really going to rally around Kamala Harris? Because I think it takes one.
They already are.
You think so?
100%, dude. Yes, the Democrats are very united with this.
Do they believe what they're saying? Because
that doesn't matter to them.
No.
But does it matter to the American public?
Two separate things.
Okay.
The Beltway in Washington, the Democrat Beltway in Washington, are 100% behind Kamala Harris. Are the Democratic voters?
Maybe that was a better way of phrasing.
That's up for debate.
Because I would ask those Democrat voters, not the people that are just going to vote for anybody and anything under the sun other than Trump, like my mother-in-law out there. I would say, so you actually believe that she really has the support that we are going to be told publicly? After being told publicly Joe was not in decline, after she said that Joe was not in decline. And by the way, I would say to those moderate Democrats, to maybe those independents that look at the far left policy, you do realize she is not going there. This is not going to Joe Manchin. This is not like going to Josh Shapiro. You're going to get more of the same old, if not even further left. And I would ask those people that don't like the failed policies of the last 3.5 years, are you on board with that? And some might say yes, and some might say no.
The breaking news of the moment, Senator Manchin says he will not challenge Kamala Harris for president. Number two, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, saying he does not deny he's in the running to be Harris's VEEP.
To be her VEEP.
So they're asking him about it. He's not denying it.
But I don't know, as much as Beshear is an interesting guy, and I know Sean Farish likes him, I'm not sure what he delivers Kamala Harris.
Dude, he can win. He won a red state as a Democrat. Like that's
and he's young, right?
He's young. He's good looking. Attractive ticket for her.
You think Kamala can win Kentucky with Beshear?
No.
I was just making
sure. Somebody brought that up earlier. They're like Kentucky's not in play. I never said Kentucky was in play.
Okay, yeah.
I said,
because to me it's the same as Roy Cooper. I mean, Cooper might be the governor as a Democrat in North Carolina, but Trump has taken Carolina the last two elections.
I think North Carolina can be. Let me just say this. I don't know if it's going to happen this time, but it can be winnable for the Democrats.
Yeah, I would say far more than Kentucky.
Well, yeah, yes. Kentucky is not going mm-hmm. blue.
Right.
It's just not. So I believe that if Kamala Harris is. If she's weighing all of these options, I think Beshear and Roy Cooper, or Ray Cooper, whatever his name is, are way more plausible for her to pick than Josh Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think that they see Pennsylvania as possibly, and again, I say possibly winnable. You know what I mean?
Also, but if they're looking for this youth vote,
yeah,
because they're trying to say that Trump, what they're going to try to do is say, well, Trump is old. He's the old guy. He's elderly. And by the way, he's with radical MAGA J.D. Vance, and they're both like white racist dudes. Like, that's going to be their whole thing. But they're going to say Trump is old. So if we're looking at that, then is Roy Cooper, by their definition, the North Carolina governor, is he somebody who at 67, does that hurt their narrative? Whereas, you know, you have Kentucky's governor, Andy Beshear, who's 20 years younger mm-hmm. than Governor Cooper.
Yeah.
So if they're looking at something that's more to say, hey, we want to pass the baton to younger generations, Kamala Harris is, 59? You have, you know, Andy Beshear, who's 10 years younger than her. And so if they're looking for like a youth ticket.
I'm very interested in the next set of polls or the next video that we get where some network sits down with black voters and asks, are you more likely now to vote Democrat because Kamala's at the top of the ticket?
Her weakness, if I'm thinking like a Democrat strategist, her weakness is the fact that she's far too liberal on a lot of subjects for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a Democrat strategist, I need to find somebody, put somebody on that ticket who balances that out.
Yep.
And somebody like Andy Beshear, I believe, balances that out.
I wouldn't surprise me if that's who Carville floats out. Has anybody checked in on James Carville, by the way? Because he's been dying for Joe to be out of the race, and now he gets his wish as well.
I still stick with what I said earlier this morning, that I see these disingenuous Democrats. We saw it where they, you know, betrayed Hillary, went with Obama. Now you have Obama. Did Obama come out and endorse Kamala? Because the latest I saw,
I'm not seeing that.
The headline with Obama was, well, we'll let Democrats pick a quote outstanding nominee. I'm telling you, they're being disingenuous. I feel that they have somebody else in mind. And I would not, nothing would surprise me at this point, but there's no loyalty here.
Yeah. And also interesting, I mentioned his name once in the top five people from Newsweek in the 6:30 block this morning. And we didn't even go into it, but I just rattled him off because he was one of the five names. I mean, it's 9:12 and we're talking about a successor for Joe. And Gavin Newsom hasn't been really discussed beyond saying his name one time. And this is a guy who helped orchestrate a debate on Fox News with Sean Hannity against Ron DeSantis. This is a guy who cleaned up the streets in San Francisco for Xi Jinping. This is a guy who went over to China and ran over a 8-year-old on a basketball court. This is the guy who's been running a shadow campaign for 3 years, and he's almost in the same category as Gretchen Whitmer or Hillary Clinton. I have to believe that the Democrats, deep within, behind the scenes, know that Gavin Newsom's not the guy. I really do. I mean, we're talking about Andy Beshear. There's 9 people in this audience who know who Andy Beshear is. Roy Cooper, well, there's 6 people who know that guy.
On that same, guys, I hate to say this, but on that same level, if you ask a lot of, I mean, we've done Man on the Street things. We've heard Man on the Street things.
Mm-hmm.
How many voters do you think could name Kamala Harris?
Exactly.
I'm being 100% honest. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I mean, I don't know if it's the majority, but like, people don't pay attention to politics like we do. Like, if you ask somebody right now, maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll send somebody down the street for the many staff we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if we did, like, if we went to a Phillies game and we asked people as they were walking in, who's the vice president? Who's running on the Democrat ticket right now? Do you think the majority of them would say Kamala Harris?
No. Headlines this morning, New York Times, why Obama has not endorsed Harris. The Hill, Obama stops short of backing Harris. Sky News, Barack Obama is calling for an open contest. Why has he not endorsed Kamala Harris? When I see those headlines, I think, this whole Kamala talk is just another, you know, shell game. They want somebody
else.
You think
it's a smokescreen?
And and I think AOC said the quiet part out loud that they want to throw out the whole ticket.
Well, I said earlier this morning, wait for one squad Democrat to come out and say Kamala's not the best, or to say we want an open convention, and then the floodgates will open. That will grant the permission for other Democrats out there that would be labeled sexist and racist not to back Harris to publicly voice their displeasure. But if Obama's silence speaks volumes, That's the stamp of approval. That's all you need if you're a Democrat to say Kamala should not be just handed this.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. What do the Democrats view as Trump's biggest weakness? Women, right?
Women. Women and the whole Roe v. Wade abortion.
So then if you're a Democrat strategist, do you go all in on the woman ticket?
I mean, it's not terrible. If you're gonna put all of your political ad eggs in the basket of women's reproductive rights,
I mean, they basically have anyway.
Well, it's the only policy they can run on right now, right? I mean, everything else is about Trump being a threat, and Project 2025 and J.D. Vance, and he's right wing and he's extreme. Everything is predicated on fear plus female rights. And that's why they do as well as they do in that demographic. But I, if you're going to give me a female vice president, I'm sitting here trying to think of who it could be. Because it's, you're not going to go Gretchen Whitmer. She's unlikable. Hillary would never be second fiddle to Kamala.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God. I actually would like that because I think then Trump would actually just Hillary's stench being on the ticket is enough for Trump to roll again.
Yeah.
But Hillary, no. Gretchen, no. You're not going to pluck anybody like a like an AOC. Katie Hobbs, no. I'm just trying to think of females throughout the country that are either governors or high up in Congress or in the Senate. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one.
And so think also of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's extremely wealthy, billionaire, and look at his fundraising. He's number one. And obviously, a lot of this is self-funded. He's put his own money into it. But is he a possible presidential contender? So he's not endorsing Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He's not issuing anything to back her. You know, is he somebody? I mean, I know for Republicans, he's not popular with them, but who's the one who would open up this gate? Would it Joe Manchin has already backed out, so would it be a Pritzker who's a billionaire?
Mm-hmm. I said on Friday that the timing is not good if Joe does drop out to go Kamala, because you're seeing throughout corporate America a lot of companies ditching DEI. I gave you Microsoft, Tractor Supply Company, John Deere on down the list, colleges doing it. She's the ultimate DEI hire.
I'm not predicting this, but like it would not surprise me if they went all female. It would not, because I just think that they look at that as their strongest trump card to play on words there. And what a better trump card than two women on the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
In their minds.
They'll totally lose. You put two women up there who are unknowns.
I didn't say it was unproven. I did not say it was a smart strategy. I just said in their minds, they might be thinking that. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Now, here's the other. I mean, you could, if you want to talk about identity politics and female, you could go with a Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And you'd have the first ever African-American female and African-American male ticket.
Interesting.
I could see them doing that.
Wes Moore, military veteran.
Yeah, that's an interesting pick, too.
Totally could see that.
Yep.
And Fox is reporting that Kamala will give her first public comments during the Dawn Show today.
Of course.
At 11:30 a.m.
Of course.
And, the hearing with Kim Cheadle, Secret Service, starts right at 10 o'clock. So we'll have a lot breaking.
So if I'm gathering this and this is correct, we're going to hear from Kamala Harris before we hear from Joe Biden, the sitting president of the United States.
Are we done hearing from Joe Biden? Honestly, I'm kind of thinking, and guys, I don't.
This is on. Hello, hello, hello.
I'm going to say something and I don't wish this. OK, so yeah. But I just feel, knowing people like this and knowing people who are very reluctant to give up power, I just think that this is everything is going to go downhill for Joe really quickly. And again, I'm not wishing that. I don't want that to happen. But if I'm guessing, from people that I've seen who have stayed at the dance way too long,
mm-hmm.
and, gave up power when they shouldn't, or when they felt like they shouldn't have,
mm-hmm.
it goes downhill for them very quickly.
You're talking about health and life.
Health and life,
okay.
Yes.
Because there are some saying they should invoke the 25th and get him out now.
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of the game, what could possibly go wrong? I hate saying that, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all people need probably, and just this goes to show you how divided we are, I other than proof of life that he's still alive, I think that'll be adequate enough for the next 4 months, right? Just Joe Biden didn't die from COVID, did he? Okay, he's still alive and ticking. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Best of luck to you in your in the 18th hole of your life, sir.
And can you imagine if this, just say this is a Republican who has not come out to the American people, has not made a statement, the difference in media reporting?
Oh, just imagine if Trump wins re-election.
Oh, yeah.
And 3 years from now, he's 81, and we don't see him for 6 weeks. I mean, MSNBC would be doing the same. Like, where's Trump? Is he okay? He's not posting.
He's supposed to have Netanyahu's coming into the White House this week, yeah. right? So I'm assuming there's going to be I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of a joint press conference.
One would think.
He's also supposed to speak with Zelensky as well, isn't he? I thought I saw that headline over the weekend, which is very interesting. Which, by the way, how do you think Zelensky's feeling today? You think he still gets the bag?
Well, can he still get the bag with Kamala?
Well, that's a good question. Very good question.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. Dawn, are you familiar with the gaming app or the gaming thing, Destiny?
Yes.
Okay. I am not. This is out of my world. This is out of my... I didn't ask you, Nick, because I know you wouldn't know that either.
Yeah, I've been off of games for 12 years.
Allegedly, right?
No, that's fact.
So this scumbag who shot the president...
Oh.
And killed Corey Comparator.
Thank you. Thank you, Dawn. Yes. Yeah, this guy who's worm food right now, thank God, is, meaning the shooter, was on the gaming site Discord, right?
Yes.
Apparently there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on on these gaming sites. And on this site Destiny, this is like, is the FBI monitoring this stuff? Because there's a lot of kids saying really deranged things.
Plotting things?
Yes. Yeah. This is a really quick clip, so I'll play it twice in case you miss it. But this is like kind of the stuff that they're discussing as they're playing these games on these social media apps.
Okay.
This is Cut 12. Phil, go.
I'm ready for the the great cleansing, dude.
Cleansing?
The cleansing.
What cleansing?
When we genocide conservatives in this country.
Are you going to be on the streets with your Glock?
Maybe. I'm going to go back to Nebraska and grab it.
Wow.
Sounds like a man who's ready to pull out the same playbook that Mr. You-Know-Who in Pennsylvania tried to do 9 days ago.
What is happening? Like,
because these people are fed this hyperbolic rhetoric from the media, from what they watch in little clips with their little attention spans on social media, when AOC makes comments like, you know, Trump is a neo-Nazi and all this other garbage. And I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of people out there that aren't there to begin with, and they can easily be corrupted into buying this stuff.
Well, and let's just say this. Maybe if the feds, with limited resources, allegedly, maybe if they had focused less on J6ers, many of the J6ers were from military backgrounds or police backgrounds with zero records and zero violence or anything of that nature. It seems like they focused on J6ers or MAGA supporters or Trump supporters, but were they just looking for any threat?
And speaking of deranged, This was in your email last night, Stalker, from Yahoo. The Pennsylvania shooter, prior to shooting Donald Trump, searched for porn on his phone and tablet.
Right before
trying to kill Donald Trump.
He was excited.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, CNN also reported on Friday that he had searched for information about Ethan Crumbly.
All these shut-ins, man.
Who, if you remember, Crumbly was the Michigan. One in Michigan where the precedent was set with the parents being held responsible.
That broke during my show on Friday, and I did say that.
Okay.
That was weird to me because both parents are social workers. Mom is a Democrat. Dad is a libertarian. And we heard all these conflicting reports. One neighbor said that there was a Trump sign at some point in their yard. Others said no. But was this a situation where it's a hatred of one parent or both and wants to just throw this onto the parents like Crumbly did because the parents lost everything and went to trial and jail and all of that in the Michigan case?
By the way, thank you. Tucker on the YouTube chat corrected us. Destiny is a game, Discord is a social app that you use while gaming. Okay. That just shows you how old and out of touch I am. I had no idea that Destiny was a game. I just saw the clip that said Destiny, and I thought it was one of those apps that the Utes use, you know, with their headsets on, where they can talk to other people while they're playing these games. Shut-ins.
It's also a site, though, because there's Destiny 2. Okay. That's the multi. Okay, so Destiny 2 is a like a multiplayer game, whatever. But then there are apps and sites.
Mm-hmm.
So Discord is the one where, you know, that's what I was teasing my sons. I was like, are you on the Discord? Can you pull up this scumbag's profile?
And are like, you on the gram, son?
I know. They're like, Mom, this is not Facebook. Uh-huh. You know, it's like.
By the way, law enforcement, speaking of pornography, say it's not unusual that these searches for pornography show up after things like this happen, noting that Sandy Hook shooter, and I'm not going to say his name either, he had images of child abuse and other extreme pornography on his devices.
What is happening? It's a bunch of shut-ins, man.
I know. Get on a bike and go ride 65 miles.
Easy. If your kids are hanging out in the basement talking on Discord, kick them out of the house.
Yeah, I know. Well said. Yeah.
Oh, God. These bleh.
Mm-hmm.
We're raising a bunch of shooters.
Yeah.
But didn't Destiny... I thought Destiny 2, they said that was going to end. By the way,
Joe says Destiny is a dancer.
You know, back in my day, we played Final Fantasy VII on a PS2.
Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have an interview tonight with Jesse Waters. They're strategically releasing clips throughout the day. Trump talks about Biden's decline and the doctors giving him wonderful reports. This is Cut 21. Phil, go.
You'd investigate the people that hid Joe Biden's condition?
Well, I think somebody has to look at it. Look, you had people that lied to the American public, and I tell you what, you ought to take a look at his doctors, because his doctors keep giving him this wonderful report. I'm not a doctor, but I saw him the other day, was unable to get up the children's stairs going Air Force One.
Is it a coup against Joe Biden?
I think it is. I mean, look, there's a constitutional process, the 25th Amendment. If Joe Biden can't run for president, he can't serve as president. And if they want to take him down because he's mentally incapable of serving, invoke the 25th Amendment. You don't get to sort of do this in the most politically beneficial way for Democrats. If it's an actual problem, they should take care of it in the appropriate way.
This was something we all brought up on the show months ago and for multiple years now. Every time Joe apparently passes his annual physical with flying colors, he's never in any sort of physical or mental cognitive decline. Well, yeah, Joe's got cholesterol and he's got GERD and he's got sleep apnea. But other than that, you know, Joe's got some nerve issues in his toes because he's getting up there in years. We're always told that he's fine. Now, you don't have to be a doctor to realize he's not fine. What are they covering up? What did they not release in that official medical transcript? Those are legit points.
I'm going to get back to the Trump-Vance interview in one second, but I just wanted to remind people, Nick, you mentioned earlier Kamala Harris trying to explain Ukraine and what was happening between Russia and Ukraine, right?
Yep.
Well, we'll go back into the Wayback Machines. This was from March of 2022.
This might take the cake.
This is her explaining the Ukraine-Russia conflict. She was on a radio show called The Morning Hustle. And this is how that sounded.
If you're watching any level of news, even social media, you're seeing everything that's going on right now in the Ukraine. Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on.
By the way, the fact that the host said the Ukraine just shows you how nobody has any idea what this is. And she's like, and she takes the cake.
The amount of interviews that they do with the networks and shows that they go on is astounding.
I know.
This puts like Fox Soul in perspective.
Yep. All right, we continue.
And then how can this directly affect the people of the United States?
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Yes, right.
Wow.
So basically,
it's like a fifth grade teacher.
Pennsylvania is a state next to New Jersey that is divided by the Delaware River. And Pennsylvania is bigger than New Jersey. But if Josh Shapiro decided to invade Phil Murphy's kingdom, that would be wrong.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Professor Kale.
How can anybody vote for that?
Hang on, one more time. One more time.
Any level of news, even social media, you're seeing everything that's going on right now.
Let's just follow this, shall we?
Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Oh, my God.
All right, now it's time for recess. Oh, everybody put their folders away. We'll have graham crackers and skim milk when we come back in.
Skim milk.
Yeah. Wow.
It's amazing, isn't
it? You know, just to tie in yesterday to that doozy today from March of 2022, it's almost as if she rode a bike once and fell off of it and wasn't wearing a helmet. Like, she did the bend to shore bike ride to Atlantic City, and somewhere in Hamilton, she fell off and bumped her head. Because the only explanation for her to be the second most powerful person in the world.
It's amazing.
Oh God.
All right, a little bit more from the Vance Trump interview that will air tonight on Fox News with Jesse Waters. I'm going to go cut 23, Phil, go.
Barack Obama still plotting against you, trying to take you out.
They got some big problems over there. First of all, Obama hates Biden, and Biden hates Obama. And when Obama walked Biden out a couple of weeks ago off the stage, he didn't have to do that. He could have let him wave to the people a little bit longer. I don't know if Joe knew who he was waving to, but he was waving. And all of a sudden, Obama comes along, grabs him. Come on, Joe. Like he was a child. It made him look so bad. And I know people with Biden. I know people with Obama. And they were not happy about that. It made him look really bad, like a child. Like a child. They don't like each other. And I think that it's pretty tough. This guy got, what, 14, 15 million votes, delegates. He had the votes. So he goes through a process. He gets them. And the whole thing has been a con. Look, when they kept him in the basement in the first, those people should be looked at because they lied to the American public.
Indeed. And remember, when we saw that video footage, we had to dispel the myths and the theories of that's a cheap fake. Oh, it's a deep fake. It's a bad angle. Joe wasn't really being let off by Barack. At that moment there, Barack Obama knew. They had to pull the plug. It's like when you're in the tub and you know you just have to pull that little stopper out and let the water run out of the drain. That's when Obama knew.
Yeah, we should break.
All right. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show, what occurred today in music history. All still on the way. It's Kale and Company. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The United States Secret Service head, Kim Cheadle, will her head roll as she's set to testify. We have the leaked remarks from her, you know, what she's going to say. So we have a sense of this. So we may very well take that live once she starts to testify. And we expect that she will get ripped in a bipartisan way. So will they call for her to resign immediately? We'll look at all of that. There's a lot of breaking news locally, statewide, especially Pennsylvania in focus. So we'll get to that. And as well, we have nationally so much happening, including Trump's big rally in Michigan. Pretty amazing that he never stopped moving. I mean, once, you know, you think about a consuming convention and then right out of that, just rolling into a major, huge rally. So all of it, we'll be covering up everything live and local.
Yeah, we did. I have a bunch of cuts from that, Dawn, that I never ended up playing. So you should play them on your show.
Yeah, because definitely.
It was quite the rally.
It was amazing.
And so much happened that I didn't even play any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Dawn Show, just about 8.5 minutes out as we wrap up on a Monday with what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. History. Kale and Company.
Today, July 22nd,
We celebrate the birthdays of William Calhoun, the drummer for Living Color, who's now 60. Pat Badger, the bassist for McStream, who's now 57. Don Henley from, of course, the Eagles, who's now 77. And a Henley birthday shout-out to Brian Howe, who once fronted Bad Company. Singles include Back to the Shack by Weezer in 2014. Albums include Elvis Costello's debut in 1977. Stephen Stills' Super Session in 1968. Yellow Card's Ocean Avenue in 2003. And The Slip by Nine Inch Nails in 2008 that was released digitally. Also in 71, The Doors' L.A. Woman is certified gold. In 79, Black Flag played a concert at Manhattan Beach, California. In 67, The Doors were on American Bandstand. But lastly, on this day a year ago, Disturbed's concert in Phoenix is canceled due to excessive heat. What a shocker. Phoenix heat in July. Well, it prevented the band's equipment from powering up properly. Maybe, you know, go inside. It's Phoenix in July. For KO Company, I'm Phil Hoffman.
You know, Ukraine is a country over here on the map.
It's amazing.
Next to Russia, another big country.
And it's bad. Oh, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is
on Twitter.
Oh, that's right. You know, we haven't done it the last couple days. I thought we maybe nixed that.
Who won Twitter?
David Gallagher. David Gallagher. Nick, you commented earlier that all the women dusted you in the...
It's fact.
Ben to shore
no
bike
cheap,
ride.
No cheap fakes.
David writes, since all the women dusted you, I'd say we need more men like you competing in women's sports.
Yeah. I am no threat to women's sports. I am a Title IX gem.
That's amazing. David Gallagher wins Twitter tonight.
All right. That'll do it for us. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Dawn is up next. And based on the news from yesterday, I'll leave you with this because it's more relative than ever.
If I were smart, I'd say thank you and leave.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.